relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
We are back. It's that time of the week. One of your favorites. He is, of course, Lord Conrad Black. And he can be found on Twitter at Conrad M. Black. Lord Black, also with our good friends VDH, Victor Davis Hanson, and Bill Bennett, you have a podcast, correct?
That's right. It's called Scholars and Sense.
Scholars and Sense, my friends. Right. Check it out right now. I highly recommend. The three men of that ilk in one room. I'd like to be there as a fly on the wall. You can be by subscribing to Scholars and Sense right now. Lord Black, so much to discuss. Your latest article in American Greatness is Joe Biden's Misery Index Rises. We're going to post it right now on our Twitter and Facebook pages. But as an individual who in your first memoir wrote so eloquently about the flawed nature of the U.S. Judicial system, will you indulge me as I just read to you a couple of lines from a report in Fox News about the first conviction from the events of January the 6th?
Yeah, please do. It's nonsense, so please read it.
So let's look at this. This first conviction is of an individual named Paul Allard Hodgkins, 38 years old, of Tampa, Florida, who was convicted of a felony, the charge being obstructing an official proceeding. That's the charge, obstructing an official proceeding. He has received, despite having no prior criminal record, Lord Black, 8 months behind bars. And during the trial, was clearly forced or advised by his counsel to make a chilling, almost Maoist self-critique about how Joe Biden, quote-unquote, is the rightful president of the United States. He was never accused of assaulting anyone or damaging property. However, he did, and I'll end here, he did take a selfie-style, quote-unquote, selfie-style photograph as he walked down the Senate well. Your reaction?
Well, I want to ask a question first. In giving him that sentence, do they credit him with the time, the 6 months he's been in prison?
Oh, that's a fabulous question. I do not know. I would dearly hope so. We can check right now. Eric, will you look up whether his time served is counted against the 8 months, and we will know momentarily.
But basically, I think it's an outrage. I accept that he's obviously, he's guilty of, I mean, he is, to be fair, he's guilty of the charge. But the penalty for it shouldn't be 8 months in prison. I mean, a penalty for it should be a $500 fine. And since he served the time, you know, make that the rest of it. But, I mean, normally you give someone a $500 fine for that. At the worst, a week in prison. But what really disturbs me is, They obviously, as is their practice, spent all of this time that he's been detained trying to sweat out of him as some kind of an accusation connecting the Trump organization with what went on January the 6th, because that's how these, frankly, for a large part of them, corrupt American prosecutors operate. They abuse the ability to suborn or extort false inculpatory evidence by threatening whoever is detained. And then when they get the evidence they want, they give them a full immunity from a perjury charge. So, you know, that's why you have a 98% conviction rate, 97% without a trial in federal criminal cases in the United States, which merely means it's a completely corrupt system, illustrating that Lord Acton was right when he said that absolute power corrupts absolutely. But you know, on its face, I have to say the man apparently was guilty. He had no business walking down the aisle in the Senate. He was trespassing.
No, he was then, and he doesn't deny it. But one thing that I didn't read out of the article that perhaps talks to your institutional critique and in your autobiography, the charge or the penalty for obstructing an official proceeding, Lord Black, and I think this speaks to a larger problem. The maximum sentence for just obstructing a proceedings, like a congressional hearing, is 20 years in prison, Lord Black.
Well, that's absurd.
20 years in prison or a $250,000 fine.
If you threw a bomb in it and injured somebody, I would understand that. But yeah. That's just absurd. I mean, that's just giving the prosecutors a heavier axe to lower over the back of the neck of anyone they're targeting at that time. And it facilitates the abuse of the plea bargain system. But in practice, tell me if I'm wrong in this. In practice, if it's, let us say, a municipal council meeting or something, and somebody comes into it who has a very strong opinion on something before the municipal council and shouts and interrupts things and finally is removed by security for disturbing the thing, that person might be subject to a fine of $100.
Right, a fine. Yes, yeah. A nominal fine and a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, well, here is one person among hundreds who were trespassing. So, I think it's fine to prosecute him, but it should be proportionate, and they should have dealt with it. It should have been over and done with by inauguration day.
Could the fact that we've seen dozens of individuals, and Julie Kelly, also at American Greatness, has done sterling work in documenting all of this, perhaps one of the only reporters out there who's doing it, the fact that dozens of individuals have been arrested, have been tracked down by their cell phones to all parts of the United States, some of them grandmothers arrested, put in solitary confinement for months on end. Could one look at that and also this 8-month sentence for an individual who hurt nobody, damaged nothing? Could this be put into a broader context of an attempt, at least an attempt, to criminalize being a conservative, Lord Black?
I think you could connect it to that, yes. But it has this additional ingredient. I mean, the whole process of trying to criminalize conservatives, and especially Trump-supporting conservatives, has been carried on essentially by either outright political individuals, such as the spurious impeachment cases, or wrongfully politicized individuals abusing power at high levels, as in the intelligence agencies and the FBI. But what we also have is this attempt to portray what happened on January the 6th as George Will and Peggy Noonan and other otherwise reputable intelligent commentators have described it, an event of comparable gravity and danger and criminality as the attack on Pearl Harbor and the attack on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon on September 11, 2001. And, of course, it has absolutely not the slightest comparability to either event. I mean, the one was a full-scale attack on the United States Navy, killing thousands of people and sinking 5 battleships by one of the world's great powers, Japan. An outright declaration of war, in fact. There's no declaration. The declaration was when the Japanese torpedo bombers arrived overhead. And the second, of course, was a terrorist attack enabled by failed states, Afghanistan in particular. But as even the chief author, Osama bin Laden, said, was a massacre of innocents. Again, thousands of innocent people killed for no reason anyone could put together with the attack. This was a group of hooligans leading a bunch of legitimately annoyed Trump supporters who felt that the election had been rigged in a trespass and a minor act of vandalism and an act of gross disrespect to the institutions of the country. But it was aggrieved citizens being exploited and inadvertently, unknowingly giving shelter to a group of essentially almost apolitical hooligans. And the only person who died violently as a result of it was indeed one of the intruders, about whom they'd not told us anything except the name, nothing about who did it or what circumstances. And to compare that, and it was an outrage what happened on January 6th. It shouldn't have happened, but it could have been prevented if the present complainers had been doing their jobs properly. I mean, the Capitol Police chief, whom they've since fired, asked for reinforcements from the mayor and from the Speaker of the House and didn't get them. So they.
Did we lose you, Lord Back? Oh. And apolitical hooligans doth not an insurrection make. We are going to continue our discussion with Lord Black. He is the author of A Matter of Principle and also A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America. Back after these messages. Relief Factor. If you're suffering from daily pain and have failed to find relief anywhere else, you've got to try Relief Factor. Just listen to Gary from California. I cannot thank you enough. I am 62 years old and have just started taking Relief Factor. I have never felt better and will recommend it to all my baby boomer friends. That should be your story. That could be your story if you order the 3-week quick starter pack right now at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for Gary, me, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com.
This is the Salem Radio Network.
We are in regular touch with these social media platforms, and those engagements typically happen through members of our senior staff, but also members of our COVID-19 team. Given, as Dr. Murthy conveyed, this is a big issue of misinformation, specifically on the pandemic. In terms of actions, Alex, that we have taken, or we're working to take, I should say, from the federal government, we've increased disinformation research and tracking within the Surgeon General's office. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation.
That is, of course, the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki talking about, can I say the word collusion between the White House and big tech and social media, who are going to be censoring what people say and perhaps now even their SMS text messages if they are deemed to be spreading quote-unquote disinformation. Our guest, Lord Conrad Black, formerly the head of Hollinger International, one of the biggest media companies out there. Lord Black, why is there not outrage at this?
Well, there is outrage in those circles that know about it. So to the extent there isn't the level of outrage that should be there, we again lay that squarely at the door of the overwhelmingly partisan, rabidly partisan national political media. They're determined to whitewash the regime that they helped put in office to evict for the former president, and as part of that, they are continuing to filter the facts, the news facts, as they are clearly adducible each day, by simply ignoring anything that reflects poorly on the administration. And that, frankly, is most of the political news nowadays.
Now,
if you look at the border, look at the inflation,
right,
look at the crime rate, it's a shambles, and it's getting worse every day.
But let me quote my former White House colleague, who's co-host of my podcast, The Battle for 1600, and he's used this phrase, the freight train of audits. We're seeing every day new news, new evidence of at least, if not organized central fraud, just the lack of chain of custody and very strange things going on in Atlanta and elsewhere. If this evidence continues to snowball, Lord Black, what's to stop the White House saying that it's not just COVID disinformation, but quote-unquote disinformation about these audits that should likewise be censored?
I think the only thing that can stop that is if you get some judicial or judicial equivalent verification of the fact that that there is a real question about the validity of some of those results. As long as they can portray it as Trump partisans making mischief and propagating the big lie, the Trump hating media will go with that. They'll stay at their posts on the ship as long as they can, but they won't go down with the ship. And when the ship, I'm taking this metaphor too far, but when the ship strikes a shoal and somebody of unquestionable impartiality and thoroughness in looking into the matter says there is a real problem here, doesn't have to be more than that, doesn't have to say Trump won Georgia, just there is a real problem here, then I think it starts to fall apart. They can't ignore that. But look at what was required to get them to take the whole investigation of Hunter Biden seriously. Now, it didn't matter once the election was over and they got the result they wanted. Obviously, it wasn't as sensitive a question. But the same people who let it pass and treated it as a ho-hum after the election organized and agitated and made public letters of complaint and so forth by supposedly knowledgeable people that it was Russian disinformation. And only after the fact did we discover, one, that it had been a grand jury subject of investigation for a year and a half, and two, most recently, that the U.S. attorney in that district in Delaware had deliberately assured there was no public awareness of the existence of this grand jury, because he didn't want to hurt the chances of the local candidate.
But with that yardstick in mind, that there's irrefutable evidence that something occurred and therefore they will have to cover it and it cannot be censored, could you not say the same for the Russia collusion narrative? We have the evidence. Nothing occurred. Documents were forged. But that hoary tale still lives on. So is the system...
I think that's all on John Durham. I mean, in my opinion, his failure to produce any report,
yes,
is simply a disgrace. I mean, if he doesn't come up with something soon, he should be disbarred. I mean, he promised a report. I'm not talking about the verdict. I mean, the verdict is whatever it is, and that's up to him to determine, or at least determine, and then if there are charges to be laid, to pursue it in the courts of law in the proper manner. But he promised a report, an interim report. He hasn't produced anything, nothing.
Just, I think it was this week, I think it was Monday or perhaps at the weekend, we had Devin Nunes state that he expects actual charges to result from the Durham report. He seems to me to be somebody who has cleaved to the truth in the last 5 years. Does that give you hope when somebody...
Very admirable, fine man, I agree. If he says it, I would take it very seriously. Did he say that the indictments would be coming down soon?
He said that he intimated that the report will be released imminently and it will lead to numerous indictments.
Well, I frankly, I would be surprised if it, if he actually is for real, Durham, then then obviously produces a report that even if he doesn't indict anybody, if he produces a report that explains what happened in a believable way after fair and thorough and impartial analysis, I will take back what I said. Not that he would be aware that I said it anyway, but I'll commend him for that. And if it took this long, then I'll accept that it took this long because he was being thorough, not because he was being lazy or evasive. But with that said, I agree with what the former Attorney General Barr said. He said when one political campaign for the presidency is investigating another on the basis of false warrants delivered on, in their interest by the director of the FBI, among others, it merits a serious investigation. I mean, on anything that's public now, Comey, McCabe, Clapper, Brennan, Strzok, a whole bunch of them should be indicted. Now, if they can put up a proper defense, then they should be acquitted. But on what's in the public domain now, crimes were committed there, and I believe the Inspector General Horowitz effectively said that.
Yes, he did. IG Horowitz's report, which should be read by all Americans, clearly indicates what occurred. The question is, will there be any actual consequences? We have been talking to Lord Conrad Black, author of A Matter of Principle, several other works, including most recently A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America, and co-host of Scholars and Sense. I'm Sebastian Corker. Your calls next here on America First.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
It got very, very fiery today on the floor of the Senate. I think there's some personal animus between Anthony Fauci and Senator Rand Paul, Dr. Rand Paul, because I guess the highest paid bureaucrat in America doesn't want to be asked tough questions. Listen to Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci. Cut five.
Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress.
Microphone down. Your microphone.
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress. And I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans.
Right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Let's read from the NIH definition of gain of function. This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function.
He's playing word games. It's just word games. Did you hear what Fauci responded? He didn't say unequivocally that's not what he said. He played with the definition of gain of function until what? Senator Paul read his own definition, Fauci's NIH definition of gain of function, back to him. And we know the NIH funded it. And gain of function is very simply any research that makes a virus worse than it was before, longer lasting, more transmissible. And that's exactly what the Wuhan lab was given your federal taxpayer dollars to do by, of course, a very delightful cutout so that Fauci could deny it was the NIH. But did you see the anger? Could you tell? Could you hear it in his voice? A man who earns $413,000 a year as the highest paid federal bureaucrat, very clearly, with his tone of voice, sending a message, how dare you question what I do? How dare you, as a representative of the people, ask me, an unelected official, to be accountable for how I spend the taxpayers' money? An individual who, by the way, I'd love to know what age he started in, with whose assistance he became the director for diseases at NIH. Because Fauci's been in that position for 37 years. If you want to know a little bit about how this individual shouldn't be allowed to practice medicine in any way, shape, or form, decide over any amount of money that comes from our coffers as taxpayers, just spend a couple of minutes online looking up Anthony Fauci, transmission of AIDS and surfaces. This is an individual who back in the 1980s demonstrated to the world that he's the one who doesn't know what he's talking about. He's the one with the unbridled arrogance who says, you don't need a mask. Nobody needs a mask. It's pointless. Oh, but then you do need a mask, except if you're Anthony Fauci and you're at a ball game and nobody's looking and I take my mask off, or when the cameras switch off in the Senate chamber and I also take my mask off, at which point he doubles down and says, oh, no, two masks would be better. It's time for you to go, Anthony Fauci. It's time for him to be fired. It's time for him, if he could be, to be impeached or otherwise removed from office, because he is a liar. And he's an arrogant, small man who also happens to be a liar. Your calls next here on America First, 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Also, don't forget, live streaming on Rumble, the First Amendment alternative to YouTube. If you miss any of our program, if you want to watch it, you can live stream the video at rumble.com/SebGorka. It is free. rumble.com/GORKA. Coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
I know I'm an immigrant, and maybe that's why I just don't get it, but I haven't had anybody born in America explain to me, why toilet paper? Why toilet paper? We had a snowmageddon in D.C. a few years ago, and it was cool. I love the winter. I love the cold. I love snow. The snow piled up. When the plows came through, there was literally a small mountain about 12 feet high of snow that you had to climb over to get to the grocery store. Our kids loved it. They were little. It was great. But we got to the store, and there was no toilet paper. And then there was no milk. Well, is it a thing about white products? Is it like fridges? Fridges run out as well? I don't know. What is it? Is it like crackers, saltines run out? It was just toilet paper and milk. Why? I'll wait. However, what if it's not milk and toilet paper? What if it's meat, chicken, bread? And it could be. Did you really know that the average grocery store in the back, the stockroom, has 3 days of supplies. 3 days of supplies. What do you think is going to happen if somebody hacks into our system and brings down, I don't know, transportation communications or the banking system? They took down 41% of our gasoline on the Eastern Seaboard just recently. What would you do? It's not crazy theories. It could happen. Are you ready if it does? I am. Why? Because I've chosen the best provider of long-term storage food in America, My Patriot Supply. They've been doing it since Katrina. They have over 40,000, 41,000 four- and five-star ratings, and their one-month supply of food is the minimum. The minimum. I've got several months' worth, and if you use my show connection, you will get $50 off your first month supply. Do it today. Go to preparewithgorka.com. Never, ever be caught incapable of feeding your family. Have a plan. Do what I did. Preparewithgorka.com. Preparewithgorka.com. Let's go to your calls. The number 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Let's go to Jacksonville. Jacksonville, Charles. Welcome to America First.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Mike? Did you call the wrong show?
I'm sorry, Mr. Gorka. I'm sorry. I was talking to somebody else in the car. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I just want to say I love your show. It's awesome. But I also want to tell you, this whole thing with Trump was planned from the beginning. They knew he was going to be trouble.
This whole thing with Trump was planned. Can you be a little bit more specific?
Well, the Democrats knew he was going to be trouble because he tried to do what every American wanted, put America first.
Yeah, of course. Right.
He put America first. He did everything for us. He made sure that our prices were low. The gas was low. He was trying to make us self-sufficient. He was not regulating, not taxing. And see, he cut the middleman out. And you can't cut the middleman out because that's what the Democrats are. They're the middleman. They're the ones sucking us dry. They want to suck us dry, and they think they know what's best. But see, we know what's best. We live our lives. I don't need somebody coming to my house telling me how to sleep or what my kids need to do. And see, their whole philosophy is big government. They want to control everything, your thoughts.
Charles, you're not telling me any. If you've been listening to this show, you're not telling me anything really newsworthy. And by the way, I worked for the man in the White House. So
I know.
I know.
That's why I listen to you. But let me tell you what they're doing right now. In this last stimulus bill, they put in $3.2 billion to give out free Wi-Fi and tablets. Okay, and by doing this, they want to make everybody think they're the friends of the American people and the poor. But what they're doing is they're training us. They're taking everything that we work for and giving it to people that don't give a crap about nobody. They think the world owes them for being born. They don't want to work. They don't want to do anything. They just want to suck our country dry. And that's why this border is being left open, because he wants to replace the Democrats want to replace the American people with foreigners. You know why? Because they don't complain. They'll just do what they're told to do, like good little dogs. That's what they want. They want good little dogs. That's all they want.
I thought you called in to talk about COVID, Charles.
Oh, yeah. And the reason I called in is because the two impeachments didn't work. And if you watch a little show back when Axelrod was the Axelrod from Obama was talking, he said, you know, when this virus gets here, and he was saying this before the virus even got here, there's going to be a virus that comes. And Trump won't be able to do no campaigning because he won't be able to get out and do it. But see, they didn't.
Are you saying that Axelrod, Obama's chief of staff, planned the coronavirus?
Well, it was plan D. They had plan A. That didn't work. They tried to impeach him the second time. That didn't work. So then they had to go to plan C, and that didn't work. So they went with plan D. Go on, gain a function on this virus, let it spread, blame it on some.
Okay, so what's your evidence? I'm curious, Charles. What's your evidence that the Democrat Party created the coronavirus?
Well, Trump's all you need is evidence.
No, that's not how it works. That's not how evidence works. Charles, be a big boy. It's not how evidence works. What is your evidence? Because this is a pretty, big allegation. What is your evidence that the Democrat Party started and planned and created coronavirus?
I'll tell you what, this is my evidence. Okay. We're taking taxpayer dollars from the American people, and we're sending it to a lab in China.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. I played the audio. But what is your evidence the Democrats said we're going to use this to defeat Trump? I need that smoking gun.
Okay, well, Hillary Clinton, that's enough.
Oh, Charles, please don't ring up this show and waste 3 million people's time by saying, evidence, Hillary Clinton. That's not how a big boy thinks, okay? That's not evidence. You can't go into a court of law and say, John Smith, that's what, you know, murder, John Smith. It's not how it works in America. It's not evidence. Put your big boy pants on and don't waste my time again. Goodbye, Charles. Wow, I invested in that man. I don't care if you like the show. Act like a normal human being who believes in the rule of law. You can't say, my evidence, Hillary. Well, I'm going to say, evidence for you, pedophilia. Charles, there you go. Charles. We're conservatives. We don't do that crap. We believe in the rule of law and evidence. It might have been the Democrats, but that's not evidence. Call back when you got some. Thank you. Next, Rain Livermore, who will soothe. Not yet, because we don't have time. After the break, but he's patient. He's a good guy. He's in the tall grass. He's there with his sniper scope. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Thank you, Jeff, for making my arteries a little bit more strained than they were previously. This is America First, coming to you from ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief from daily pain that actually works. Listen to Debron from Massachusetts. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I am feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. Did you hear what she said? My hip pain is gone. Whether it's your knee, your hip, your shoulder, your ankle, just do it today. Call ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. Order your 3-week quick starter pack, 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com. I need somebody to calm me down. Let's go to an old buddy in California. Ray in Livermore, are you there?
I don't want to come on after that guy.
Was I unfair to him?
No, Dr. G, you step into the boxing ring, you got to be ready to box.
I tried to give him a chance, and it was like, please, give me some evidence. Think like a grown-up. Ray, what brings you to my show?
Well, I called about January 6th in your discussion with Lord Black.
Yes.
I can kind of tie it a little bit to what the previous fellow was saying in that I don't think the Democrats really can think things through this much to plan a coronavirus. They're just too dumb to do stuff like that. But
Hang on, stop. This is really important. This is, you know, they are evil, they are bad, but they're also massively incompetent. And these things we must never forget, Ray.
But they are smart enough to know not to let a crisis go to waste.
Yes.
Let you do things you normally can't do. And so they can grab something like that and then run with it and exploit it.
Right.
So back to January 6th, they need to hang on to this thing and try to push it through another election cycle.
Because they've got nothing else, Ray.
They got nothing. They got dumb ideas. In fact, their ideas are actually destructive. Anything they put their fingers on, whether it's freedom, family, the economy, they destroy it. They wreck it for everybody. So they can't sell their ideas. They've got to keep this January 6th thing alive through the next election cycle. And if they could, Dr. G, they're going to try to push it 4 years out and remind us about January 6th 4 years from now. This is my prediction.
I think you're right.
I see them doing it already. And this fellow, remind me, what was he charged with, the fellow who got 8 months?
Obstructing an official proceedings.
Okay, so on the news today, I was told twice that there was an insurrection on January 6th. Nobody's been charged with that.
Right.
So how can you have How can you have an insurrection with no insurrectionists if there hasn't been a single charge? I don't know what the charge would be for insurrection.
But also, I'm just wondering, Ray, how many times do you think in Portland, in Seattle, in Baltimore, in New York, in the last year, was an official proceedings obstructed?
Or how about this? If this was the worst thing since the Civil War and 9/11, how about going to a baseball field and mowing down 17 people with a rifle? Is it worse than that? Is that something that should be put into the mix here?
For those who don't know what Ray's referring to, James Hodgkinson, baseball field, not far from this studio, who took an SKS rifle and a handgun and a hit list of Republicans to murder, one of whom he almost did, Steve Scalise. It's funny how that story is somehow apolitical, despite the fact that he was actually Bernie Sanders' campaign volunteer. Ray, bringing me back down to earth a little bit more elegantly than Jeff Bezos. Thank you, my friend. Nikki in Hawaii, how cool. John and Judy, don't go anywhere. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.